I spent so many years feeling like I should have done better. Maybe I should have like gone to varsity. I should have done all of these things. And now I realize that actually all of that not working out for my good was the biggest blessing in disguise, because I am much more happier, much more purposeful where I am. And I think that I have more, I think that I'm leading a life that I'm called to lead.
This November, make home security your priority. Never miss a thing with the Ring alarm, video doorbells, and cameras. Check out Ring's Black Friday deals and save up to 2,000 Rand on selected devices. See, hear, and talk to visitors right from your phone, tablet, or PC from anywhere. Ring's Black Friday deals are available on Takealot, Vodacom, and Incredible Connections. This Black Friday, keep an eye on what's most valuable to you, because with Ring, you're always home. Visit ring.com.
Hello, Wisdom and Wellness family. Welcome to another episode. I'm so happy you guys are still with us. Look, we are riding together till the end of the year this year, okay? So please, like, stay on this train. Today, I've got someone really, really special. I wanted to say her name, but it feels like weird. I feel like you guys don't know her name. So I'm going to give her surname. So I'm going to give you, like, her Instagram name. Today, I'm chilling with the Michelle Expert, founder of Resonate Communications, chosen as one of 40 African Young Pioneers by Google, moderator and facilitator. And you've heard her say,
get up, get up, get up, get up, get up.
I was waiting for you to say it. I'm just like, do I say it or do I let her say
like,
it?
Like, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up.
So that's the energy for today. Like, get up, get up, get up, get up.
Every single day.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
I'm going to get straight into our icebreakers. Yeah. Okay. What's your favorite emoji or meme or sticker that you always use, like your favorite?
You know the one where it like melts? It's like the little face.
Oh, yeah. Use it all the time.
I love that a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my favorite emoji. Sticker, I don't have one. I don't use stickers yet.
I don't use stickers yet.
Favorite emoji was...
Oh, no, meme.
Meme.
Yeah, you gave me an emoji.
I can't think of one.
Okay.
I can't think of one. I'm not a very funny person, so it's like very rare. I like the one that you use a lot on WhatsApp.
Which one? That girl.
Yes, the little girl.
That's like a... It's so crazy. Because when Dando Gunane came here, she was like telling me about stickers. I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, oh my gosh, you have to get on stickers. Really? So she sent me a whole bunch of stickers, and now that's all I use. And I've got this little girl who basically you know who I'm talking about.
I love her so much.
Like every scenario, like she's perfect.
Yeah, hook me up with them stickers.
Okay, I'll hook you up with stickers. Mm-hmm. If you had to sing one song for karaoke and you knew the lines from start to finish, what song would it be?
It would be Lauryn Hill. It would be The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Oh,
yeah.
Word for word.
Word for word.
Every lyric.
In the entire album, give it to me.
Why are you like a huge fan? Do you listen to it all the time? Or there was a phase where that's all you listened to?
I'm a huge fan of Lauryn Hill. Like, okay. I am a hectic, like, I can't even begin. Yeah, I love her so much. And I embrace her music a lot.
Yeah.
I appreciate her music and her artistry.
Yeah.
So that's why I feel like I connect with her from like the lyrics that she sings.
I get it. She's got a lot of lyrics though. I love her though.
A lot. Like, but I think it's like more like when you hear the story behind it.
Yeah.
And why she's saying the things that she's saying, and you can connect with that. It's like, I like this jam.
Yeah.
So
I've never been a lyrics person.
Really?
Even movies, like I'm always amazed at people who can finish the lines of like movies. And I'm just like, how does your brain do that?
Actually,
like,
work.
I just can't. Even lyrics. Really? Like I mess up lyrics. Like, I mess up
all
lyrics.
The time.
All the time. I'll sing the tune and the notes and the runs and all of
but
that.
But it's not your words.
It's just like,
what were you doing back in the day when we were writing lyrics in our books?
I was ever in that era.
Really?
No, and I've heard a lot of people talk about that we used to write lyrics. I don't remember being in my writing lyrics era.
Yeah?
No.
That was a thing. So I used to write those lyrics like to Lauryn Hill songs.
Oh, no.
Like the Miseducation.
I don't think I had like posters on my wall. I don't think I was allowed to have like posters. You know, like you and Drum Magazine used to have those posters.
Yes. People... Of like your favorite artist.
Yeah. No, I didn't do that.
Is it?
Yeah, no.
Oh, man.
I feel like I need to talk with my parents.
Yeah, that was a good era.
Okay. One. Last question. Mm-hmm. Do you believe in second chances?
Yes.
Ah, really?
Yeah, I do.
Giving people second chances?
I do.
Not the whole fact if people show you who they are, believe them?
I think there's a fine line to that. I think there's a fine line to both things. Okay. I do believe in second chances. It obviously also just depends. Sometimes it's a second chance to myself, not to the other person. Sometimes it's a second chance to the other person because they genuinely made a mistake.
Yeah.
So yes, I do believe in God. Gave us a second chance.
I was thinking about it when I wrote the question, and I was like, before, I'm a very, I think naive person. So I'm like very trusting and very open.
Yeah.
But like as life goes, I feel like I'm starting to close up.
Interesting.
And not necessarily in a bad and a good way.
Yeah.
I think for protection purposes. So now I think my mind is starting to go to, they showed you who they are. Why don't you believe them? And that doesn't mean I'm writing off people. Yeah. It's just like, I'm believing who they show me they are.
To be. That's interesting. So my take in that is always that whatever people do, the things that they say or how they show up in the relationship I have with them, usually has a lot to do with them than me.
True.
So I really take anything very personal. Like if you do anything to me, it's like, okay, cool. It will upset me,
girl,
but I'm not going to internalize it for 3 days because I'm like, you did this to me.
Really?
I think I learned how to, I don't know if this is a word, but to decenter myself from people's lives and realize that actually people are going through their own traumas and their own things. Like I'm not even the center of this person's world.
Yeah.
Ungpendulegabi because something was going on your phone. Yeah. So now I'm going to take that and I'm going to like run with it. And it's going to spoil my day and then I'm not going to work and da 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 because of whatever you're going through.
Yeah.
So I had an interesting analogy I shared with my sister and I was saying to her, don't allow yourself to be it has been.
Yeah, right? I love that.
When you are easily offended and constantly take everything, what you do is, for instance, let's say I just had a bad day, I fought with a client and whatever, then I come to you and then you say something to me, then I answer you in a bad way.
When you're a collector.
You're just collecting all the garbage I'm dishing out. Don't allow yourself to be that person. Literally just say, okay, cool, and keep it moving.
Yeah.
So it's just when you realize you're not the center of anybody's life and people's life, you move with so much peace because just like, okay, I can see maybe they're going through something and you move along and just focus on yourself.
Oh, I think that's definitely an area I'm growing in.
Yeah.
But also it's for me, it's a part of my superpower because I care so deeply and like what affects you will affect me so deeply like how are we solving this? Like so the way a person treats me for me is just always extremely personal. And I feel like in changing that, it would change how the podcast is. It would change how I run things. So it's like, okay, you know when Paul speaks about this thorn?
Yes.
It is flesh, flesh. But I think there's a reason that God kept it there.
Yeah.
Like you need this thorn to be Paul. You need this thorn to be the person you are.
Absolutely. So, and I think that's where, as children of God, we need discernment, right? Because sometimes the Holy Spirit will be able to tell you that maybe it's their thing.
Yeah.
It's not a you thing.
Yeah.
So maybe give them the grace and give them the opportunity to grow. There is that. But I definitely do believe in second chances. So for me, just decenter yourself.
Decenter yourself. I like
from
that.
From people's lives.
Don't be dasbin.
And like, and I think sometimes we overestimate our importance in people's lives. And I don't even say that in a bad way. I say that in a very like most genuine way that like if you met me, I'm like 28 years old. I've got my own trauma, my own, all of these things.
Life's happening.
And you're going to then center your life.
Sure, around you, that.
Around me.
Doesn't
it's not going to work out because I'm dealing with my own neurosis, you know?
Yeah.
So just decenter.
Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Exactly.
So we were in Cape Town together.
Yes.
Last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of, we had a lot of deep conversations.
Yeah.
And I think in the conversation, I got to understand just a little bit from what you shared with me, why you're so passionate about your business, why you're so, like, why you're so amped up and your energy. And I know that your page is mostly like business
all
of that. But I want to get into Michelle, the person. Like, who is Michelle? What was your upbringing? Why are you this enthusiastic about what you do?
Sure. That's a loaded question.
I know. It's such a hectic start.
It's like, okay,
where do I start?
Sure. So who's Michelle? Who's Michelle? I sometimes never know how to answer that question,
yeah,
to be honest.
Fair enough.
But I always say that I always do the church thing and say that I'm a child of God, you know, because that's standard.
Yeah.
But I am a young 28-year-old woman who is on a mission to help people who are passionate about building something that matters,
yeah,
build something that matters and live a life that they live while they're at it. I was raised in a very entrepreneurial home. So part of where my drive comes from is that my father used to own art stores, right? Okay. So my father used to make art with beads and glass and that all of that stuff. And he used to own a couple of stores or two stores. And nothing was for Mahala in our home.
Mm.
So we never got an allowance because we were allowed to live in the house.
Yeah. Was that the answer? Like,
no, I was like,
you're allowed to live. Yeah.
It's not enough that I allow you to live here. But shame. I think they were just doing the best with what they had.
I don't think
that we had enough provision to give. I mean, it was four of us,
yeah,
an allowance,
yeah,
you know? So how we would earn money is that my dad would say, cool, you go to school Monday to Friday, and then on weekends you can come to the shop and sell. And when you sell, you make commission.
How old are you when this is happening?
This started when I was in grade 9. So I think I was 14.
Okay, not bad. I mean, I think of it, I got my first job at 10. My dad. It's all good.
But already in the process, just before that, I used to love doing hair. The reason why I opened a salon at some point, I used to love doing hair. So when we moved from Cape Town to Joburg, there were a lot of people in my community who didn't know how to do hair.
Yeah.
And then I just started doing the hair and making a bit of extra money here and there.
Sure.
So I'd do that like after school, and then during weekends I'd go and sell. So by virtue of that, I spent a lot of time with my dad, and I got to, and both my mom, and I got to kind of see how they think,
yeah,
and how they run their business. And one of the things that they really instilled in me as children of God, I remember my parents used to have these conversations with me, and my dad would say, you know, it's so saddening that children of God are like, when people say things like a church mouse, you know, like
why is that?
Like,
the,
why is that the
metaphor?
Thing?
Yeah.
Why is
yeah.
that? Like, it's the people in the church are poor.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's really what instilled my heart in terms of being able, wanting to be in business and wanting to help people in business, but using kingdom principles
yeah.
at that
yeah.
to help them increase their revenue. Because you figure that, I don't think God wants us to be poor. I don't think God wants us to sit around and just like have our ideas and not execute. So my dad spent a lot of time with me. I had a lot of conversations with him. But what made me excited the most was the money at the end of the day.
Girl, we love money.
Right?
And it's okay to love money.
Exactly. So I would have to go to the shop, clean it up,
yeah.
clean like all the stuff that they were selling, chandeliers, and then I'd spend the day there and sell. And my dad would say, well, if you sit, no one's going to buy.
Sure.
So you have to get up and interact with the customers when they get in the store.
Sure.
So when people come in, I'd greet them. If they come in with kids, I'd greet their children. I'd have sweets for the little babies
yeah.
and show them what we're selling, what it was made of,
sure.
why it's so, and I'd really like get interactive. And then I'd sell. So as time went, I started making really good money from the shop.
From your dad's shop?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was so proud of me. But I think that really instilled such a hard work ethic. And then...
Mm-hmm.
The last memory for me, I think that's the foundation of everything that I did, is that one day we were selling at the shop, right?
Yeah.
And then my dad came to fetch me when we were closing. So he came to fetch me on foot because he had left his car down the road to get fixed or something like that. So I remember we close shop and we're walking out. And as we're walking out, my father's walking so fast. I'm this little girl like
trying to keep
panting,
up.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to keep up. And he was like, how's your day? And classic me, right? I just start rambling.
Yeah.
Just start talking. And I remember saying to him, and it's so funny because my father's late, but every time this memory comes, I literally have a picture
yeah.
of his face. And I say to my dad, and you know, Daddy, what's going to happen? I'm going to sell all of these things and I'm going to make lots of money. And when I make lots of money, I'm going to buy a Lamborghini. But guess what I'm going to call it? I'm going to call it a Limaghini because I am Michelle Lima, you know,
wow.
all of that. And I remember so vividly his smirk, but how exhausted and tired he was.
And you just like,
and I'm just like going. And he
yeah.
stopped
yeah.
from that panting and he looked at me. And he said, you know what? You're going to do every single thing
oh, man.
You've always wanted to do.
Mm.
And I know that. And he kept walking.
It's making me,
yeah.
yo, literally I've got tears in my eyes
yeah.
because in my email, literally this week,
mm-hmm.
I was writing about that. I got an opportunity. I was working on like a Dove self-esteem project and I was talking to the young kids about like insecurities and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's funny how like what you... Some our minds tend to forget things, and
yeah.
then when it's necessary, it's as if the Holy Spirit just drops it in
yeah.
you, right? And I spoke about, and I've told the story so many times, how like I think I've done everything I've ever wanted to do, because the one time, because I as a child growing up, I changed my mind a lot. Like, and even now, like, yes. I have a lot of ideas and I want to do all of them. And every single time I had an idea, my dad specifically would back it up like it's the first and the last idea.
Yeah.
And I think about it and I'm like, didn't he get tired and think, this child who keeps changing her mind? Yeah. And it's like, that's the very same reason. Like, even now, if tomorrow I decide I'm doing something else, like, I'm confident because my father affirmed me.
Yeah.
And so it makes so much sense
when
you say that affirmation from your father.
It's so important. I think the same for me. My parents backed me up.
Yeah.
When I left my corporate job to start a business, I had no savings.
Joel.
And I told my mom. My mom was like, "Oh, great! Congratulations!"
And
I was like, "I'm so scared." And she was like, "If push comes to shove, you'll come back home.
Sure,
you'll leave your apartment. You'll sell whatever you need to do. You'll come back home. But do what you got to do." So my parents have always backed me up in anything, no matter how crazy it was. So
But you can see the confidence of someone who's been backed up. It's so evident when someone's been backed up for their family. And I know not a lot of people have that. Okay, but for me, it's such an important conversation because we're having kids now. And we can be the ones, if you never had that affirmation, you can be the one who says, okay, it ends here. Yeah. I start a new thing. I will affirm my child so that whatever they want to do, whether they're going to fail, like the worst thing that can ever happen to a child is for a child to come with an idea. And then the first thing you ask is, what if it doesn't work out? And that's just such a common, common language. And it's such a privilege to have experience. I think both of
that,
us. That when you come with something and your family's like, you're going to do every single thing you said you're going to do.
It's like, it literally was like an angelic message that I carry all the time. But I think to build on that, it starts on the little things, right? It doesn't start on the big things.
Absolutely.
It starts on the little things. I know, like, now I have a little 18-month-old and she's starting to like show emotions.
Yeah.
And she's starting to be a big person. And one of the things I keep remembering in my childhood is my parents validating me and the fact that I had big feelings. So I'm a cry. I cry a lot.
Yeah.
I cry, like a movie, I'll cry.
Yeah.
I'm excited, I'll cry. I'll cry at anything. And my parents just used to say, you have big feelings and that's fine.
Sure.
You know, so that also allowed me to just be myself.
Yeah.
To then ramble like that. But like, even when I replay that memory, like I'd said earlier, I could see he was so tired and so annoyed. But I kept going because it felt safe.
It's safe.
There was that, you can go ahead. It wasn't, I'm tired, keep quiet, and I don't want to hear what you have. It's just like, just keep going. Just go. And it's those small little things that I think are very important to children and that matter the most when we become adults, because everybody needs validation. And as much as you say that,
Everyone of us, that's all we need.
Exactly. In as much as we're like, no, I don't care, I'm good. We all need some. And it comes out in one way or the other.
We want to be seen. Yeah.
100.
What has been the biggest blessing in disguise for you? And I ask this, for me, I think of like dropping out of varsity.
Yeah.
I think of opportunities that I really, really wanted and they didn't happen.
Yeah.
And now when I reflect back, I'm just like, whew. What a blessing.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously then I was crying and you get into a point where you think, God, will it ever be my turn? Why didn't this work out?
Yeah.
So for you, what has been the biggest blessing in disguise? Yeah.
So there's been a couple, but I'll say the overarching theme of them all is things not working out the way I wanted them to. You know, there was a lot of moments in my life. Like when I finished school, I wanted to be a radiologist. That's what I wanted to do. I was going to go to varsity and I was going to be in the medical field and I was going to be so successful. Like in my head, I played it all out. And then my father passed away.
Sure.
You know, and then it just changed the whole dynamic of our family, and quite a lot of things changed. And now I found myself in a space where I had to like figure myself out, and I had to be like, oh, now I'm going to let my father down because he thought like I was going to be this successful person. But how is that going to happen if I can't go to varsity? I can't do this and I can't do that. And now I just have to like hustle and figure my way out. And as the years come, my cousin said something to me the other day, and she was like, you are literally who your father always said you would be.
Oh man.
And that got me so emotional because I spent so many years feeling like I should have done better. Maybe I should have like gone to varsity. I should have done all of these things. And now I realize that actually all of that not working out for my good was the biggest blessing in disguise, because I am much more happier, much more purposeful where I am. And I think that I have more I think that I'm leading a life that I'm called to lead. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned you're leading a life that you're called to lead. And and the you probably get it a lot. The purpose conversation is a big one. Especially now, and I just forgot the quote. But I think the times we're living in now, like the purpose thing is a big stress for a lot of people. How do you define purpose?
Sure. I think for me, purpose is simply just being in alignment with the seed that has been placed in your life.
Wow.
That's how I believe the Holy Spirit has revealed in me. And I think that was the pivot to like my career and what I deem as the success I get to enjoy right now is I got to a point where, and I like you said something earlier that, you know, when you were younger, you were changing a lot, your mind a lot, and you were trying to figure out what works and what doesn't. Exactly. So I was going through a lot of that, especially in business, where like have different businesses in a couple of months. I'd just be doing everything. Right.
Yeah.
And I remember getting to a point where I was so frustrated and I went to God and I was like, God, what's my thing? Like, what's my thing? Yes, maybe I've got a beauty salon right now, but I'm not, I don't,
it doesn't feel like my thing.
What's my thing? And I remember God calling me to get into fasting and prayer. And during that time, what really just became so open to me was the fact that God already has a seed that's laid in our hearts and in our lives. And purpose is basically us being in alignment with that and then beginning to build a relationship with Him so we can water the seed and eventually be have that thing. And I think when we also talk about purpose, the other thing for me also is that I think we've got this idea that purpose is the one thing. It's like once I found it,
it's it.
Yeah.
Like life is good.
Exactly.
Everybody's going to know who I am.
Yes, I'm going to be famous. And
And
I really think that purpose isn't the one thing. I think purpose is you fully aligning yourself with God in every season of your life.
I'm going to need you to say that again.
It's like you fully aligning yourself with the seed that God has placed in your life in every season of your life.
Sure.
I think that sometimes it's almost like an assignment. Oh, this is going to be so good. It's almost like an assignment, right? In school, you need to pass.
Yeah.
But every single term has a different assignment.
Yeah.
You need to align yourself with this every assignment.
You can't be rushing for third term's assignment.
Yes. You have to carry this assignment. And I think that's part of what purpose is as the bigger picture, is that you have to align yourself with the assignment that you have right now. And I realize that, and I've fallen into this trap, that the mistake that we make is that we want to like get to the final grade. Right? That's like, that's what's going to feel like it's the thing. And you realize that, no, the thing is actually the process. The thing is
The thing is the assignment
because that's where the refining works.
Yeah.
That's where we are tried and tested, whether or not eternal life is
where the characters develop.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's a big thing. Just it's for me, it's alignment.
Sure. Yeah. You spoke about watering the seed.
The seed.
Mm-hmm. I love speaking. I'm a plant lover and I love God and everything. Yeah. And for me, just the beauty of seeds and the beauty of growth. Yeah. And for you, how does it look like practically? Like for someone who was at some point your age, at some point like you at 24 years old, who's doing all these things, but they know there's something inside. What does it look like practically to be watering the seed God planted in me?
I think firstly, you have to run back to God.
Mm.
For me, that's like the fundamentals of it, is that you have to run to God. I think that if we believe that we belong to Him, we have to go back to Him.
Yeah.
It's almost in the same way, like with my little girl, now that she's exploring stuff, it's like when she gets hurt or it doesn't work out, she runs back to me.
Yeah, that's it. She doesn't try to figure it out.
She doesn't try to be, no. She's like, Mommy, this is what I need. And I think we need, I think for me, the first thing is go back to God. I always encourage a lot of people, if you're finding yourself in that space where mentally you just don't know what's going on and you're trying to go on a fast, because it helps you shut down the noise. Because I think sometimes when we're just like, okay, I'm just going to go pray, something about that is we'll pray for 2 days and just like, great, now I have an idea. Now I know. And I think we don't really practice the patience of actually sitting with God and letting God refine everything. When I,
I speak in story.
Yeah.
And I think in story.
I love stories.
Right. And I always use myself as an example, not to be the standard, but to possibly share part of my journey. And when I started going back to God and starting to cultivate that seed, and I say this all the time, I think I've told you this before, where most of my biggest ideas that have granted me everything I've always wanted came literally in dreams and visions.
Yeah.
Like God showed them to me.
Yeah, like it's like a drop.
Yes, it's like a drop where I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. And I think that's what God calls us to, where he's able to speak to us, where he's able to walk to us. So first he's like, go back to God.
Go back to God.
Yeah. I would even say go on a fast, whatever you can do, but really just go back to God. And don't go to God with wanting something.
Yeah.
Just say, I'm just opening myself up. Because I really also realize that if you, it's like, it's so powerful because that's what the word of God says, right? It says you seek you first. But in simple terms, it's like, the more you seek God, the more he'll reveal you to yourself.
Ooh. The more you seek God, the more he will reveal you to yourself.
Because remember,
you don't know who you are.
But also in the same light, we are made in his likeness and image.
Sure.
We are like God. Sure. So how are we?
You better preach, girl.
Come on. So how are we? It's like, how do you say you want to get to know yourself? But the Bible says we are made in the image and the likeness of God. So if you know that image, essentially it will reflect and show you a mirror of yourself.
Sure.
Because that's how we are created. So for me, I found, and the more, also the more you know yourself, the more you get to see the seeds that are planted, the more God begins to speak to you and how you water them. So once you start there, God will start inspiring you to read certain books, to listen to certain things. Mm. Your taste in things changes. Your taste in music, your taste in soapies, TV,
friendship changes.
Right? Because now God is trying to bring you closer to the fullness of who you truly are in him. And then once you go through that, that seed then starts getting watered because then God starts doing his work.
Yeah. And you're not stressed about what's next because like you're content in who you are and whose you are. It's amazing that you mentioned that. I like the example that you made about being made in his image and likeness.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was talking about in my previous episode, I spoke about, like finding out the character of God and like through the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the other day I posted, I was like, oh, I really didn't feel like showing up, but I have to. And that for me was like such a beautiful moment for me because I was like, this is actually who you are. You're a person of self-control.
Yes.
And someone commented and she said, you know, we like to speak about the fruit of the Spirit, but we always speak about the love, the joy, the peace. But it's like the fruit of the Spirit also includes that self-control, you know, patience and all of that. But we don't want that. And like just like what you're saying is in the fasting, in the sitting, you are becoming like God, like Christ, because his character is patience.
Yeah.
But we want things now. But when we sit in him and sit at it, you realize that some things, like there's a gift in waiting.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's where the stillness, right? And just you being able to be still in God becomes very important. And I think like going back to how we started this conversation around decentering yourself from people's lives, those things for me happen when I sit in God. I was somebody who took offense. Like if you just like don't use an emoji while we text.
Are you mad?
What did I do? What did I do?
You know, I get you.
Exactly. That was the kind of person that I am. And as I learned to be in God, God just started showing me that actually, no.
It's not about you.
Like, it's actually not about you. Just like remove yourself from the picture because we can easily want to center ourselves in everything and the way that people speak and the things that people say. So now when you're growing a brand and somebody says something on social media, you're just like, okay. Cool. Like, okay, I can see why you see it like that.
But do you know what I've found in moments like that where I feel easily offended, and this is completely different to what to caring up like caring and feeling,
but
being easily offended. I think in those moments I've recognized it's when I am not in alignment with God. I have forgotten who I am and what he has for me. And so you start focusing on what others are saying, what others are thinking, what others are pointing out. But in moments, like literally this morning in my devotion time, and I was reading Isaiah 54, where he was talking about stretch out your tents and da, da, da. And I'm like, you know, I love the scripture and I want to stretch out my tents. But God, if you don't move, I can't move.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't say where, I can't. Where are we going to go? Where are we going?
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, it was a frustrating moment, but such a big and emotional moment, yeah, because I said, this is where you want me. Where, yeah, I'm so desperate for you, so in need of you that I can't ask my mom.
Yeah.
I can't ask my husband. I can't think it.
Yeah.
I have to sit and wait. And yeah, unless you say go, I can't go.
Sure. That is so, so, so powerful, Mpumi. And I think it actually builds back to what we're talking about validation and wanting to be seen, because as you begin to build, especially on social media, and people start saying funny things, what happens in the moment, like you said, when you are caring about what people say, it's like you've moved from your position with God.
Yeah, you've moved.
And I once had a similar incident like that, and I went to God. So I said I'm a crier, right?
Yeah,
so I,
yeah,
and I think God knows that about me. Like, yeah, I just go crying first. We'll talk later. Yeah. Like, Lord, this
tears
is
first.
I,
yeah,
I'm like, And I remember I got through this time where I just wasn't feeling, I was just like a lot of feelings. And my biggest cry was like, yeah, you know, and God really revealed to me that it was validation, that I just, you know, I seek validation from the wrong place. Sure. And I was like, yeah, but like, how come, you know, they don't see me? And I just remember the Holy Spirit whispering so soft in the ear, saying to me, yeah, but do you see you?
Right. It's in the day right there.
Okay. Not so harsh. You're a gentle God.
Please, slow down. Hold up.
It's like, goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it was then my learning that sometimes when those things get in the way, it's because we are in moments or in seasons where we're not seeing ourselves and when we're not validating ourselves. And when I say validate and see yourself, is that you're seeing and validating yourself through Christ.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. It's not just through you,
yeah,
because
you were...
Yeah.
You're not... We can't be self-sufficient. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's through Christ. And I think that's why it's always important. Just always. Like the foundation has to be Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's important. So the idea of starting over is crazy to a lot of people. And I think you see a lot of people stay in relationships they're not supposed to be in anymore. You see people stay in jobs. And in fact, to a certain extent, you see how the judgment of those who switch up is so heavy, specifically on social media. Like, people judge people who switch up. But I think there's beauty in that, because it's people who are able to start over. Yes. I know you've had quite a journey of starting over in many aspects of your life. How did you navigate that? How did you find the courage to say, let's start again?
Sure. That's a hard question.
I know.
It's a very hard question. I think the simplest way to answer that is that it goes back again to God. He carries you through that. I think there are moves that we make because we are smart and we're great, but there are moves that God anoints. You know, and the move that God anoints comes with its peace, even in the anxiety, even in the hurts and the pain.
Yeah.
It comes with a cushion that you can't explain. And for me, every other moment we have had to start over has always been graced with that, has always been graced with a, I got you. And my mind will say, well, I don't know, Lord, you know, but God is just like, just I've got you.
Yeah.
And even in that process, he even begins to reveal himself. Because when, let's say you didn't move because you were like, okay, maybe I don't want to start this because I don't have the money, then God provides.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe you're like, oh, but I'm going to be so heartbroken. And then you realize, no, you're
not.
Actually
better.
I'm actually better.
This is safer.
I didn't know there was this
peace.
Yeah,
I didn't know. It's in so much turmoil. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So it's very important. But I think for just in the context of starting over, I always say that if you ever feel like you're in a space where you need to start over, you need to surrender to God.
Yeah.
And by surrender to God, I mean that you need to actually make him Lord over your life and have him take over and take control. Because by virtue of when he takes over, it's no longer I, but him.
It's on you.
Exactly.
It's like, on you, God.
It's like, and God will just orchestrate it for
he
you,
does.
Hey? Like, you will not even have to do so much. So I think when you say that he is Lord, right? When we look at that word, when somebody's the landlord of a property, they own it.
Yeah, it's their responsibility.
Yes, and we rent. We like just stay and we rent around that property. And it's their responsibility to upkeep it, to make sure it's fine. They must come check on it. And that's how the Lord is in our lives.
Sure.
He's Lord over us.
Yeah.
So he's responsible for our upkeeping, our mental health, and all these other areas.
Yeah.
So when we need to open space at the back to start a new garden, he has to come.
He has to come and clear it up.
He has to come and verify what company are we going to use to get that sorted out. And that's That's how I think God operates with us.
Yeah. I think Mike Todd spoke about it. He said, we're stewards and ours is to, we need to take care.
Yeah.
Like you said, like if you're renting a place, you have to take care of the place.
Yeah.
But if the geezer bursts, you call the landlord. And I think the same thing with our lives. If something's broken, we need to call him. We shouldn't be the one trying to repair. We should take care of ourselves and nurture and steward well.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he is the source.
Absolutely. I had what I thought was such a powerful revelation this morning as I was driving here. Mm. I was singing to an old song I used to love listening to. It's called Pour Me Out by Naomi Raine.
Okay.
She made that song like when she was still like a YouTube artist.
Oh, okay. One of her older
songs. And I used to love it so much. And she talks about pour me out till there's like nothing left.
Mm.
So as I was singing that song, I was like, I was like, Lord, pour me out, pour me out, pour me out. But I think the Holy Spirit just started ministering to me to say, well, I'm always ready to pour, always.
Mm.
But it is your responsibility to offer yourself as a steward so that I can pour. So you have to offer yourself as a vessel.
Sure.
That's all I'm ever waiting for.
Yeah.
But, you know, I am
I'm available.
I'm
available. Abundant.
And
yeah.
I'm always ready. But the question becomes, are you opening yourself up for me to pour into?
Yeah.
So that becomes such a...
It's a you thing. What is the biggest lesson your daughter has taught you?
Ooh, Zoe, little Zoe.
These kids teach us a lot.
Joy. I mean, so I'm a serious girl.
Yeah.
For those that don't know me.
Are you firstborn?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
That's what your firstborn girls are just
like a serious girl. Yeah. I want to get things done.
Yeah.
I want to discipline everything. Yeah. I want order.
Fun must be planned. The works.
I'm a serious girl. And my daughter's just taught me joy. She wakes up singing in the morning.
Yeah.
She like comes on like at 5 o'clock in the morning and she sings A, B, C, D.
That's like that's your alarm, girl.
Like, girl, stop. She taught me joy. Mm-hmm. She just walks around the house screaming, just like singing and just being herself. And she really taught me just the joy and innocence. And I think, you know, when the Bible says we need to be childlike, I'm seeing it through her now.
Through her.
But actually, just be joyful.
Yeah.
Like, she literally cries about something and a minute later it's over. It's like, okay, cool. Moving along. Thank you.
Yeah, I think kids are such a gift to us. Mm-hmm. We think we're here to teach our kids.
Yeah.
And yes, we are. But man, those kids teach us so much about life and the simplicity of life and
big time.
And just the simplicity of depending on God, and the simplicity of love. They are our greatest teachers.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. I'm just enjoying that at the moment. It's like just the joys of being a mom.
Joys of being a mom. And the cries and the tears.
Yeah. The cries and the tears, girl.
Yeah, it's everything.
But, you know, we are graced for such a time as this.
Yeah. I want to get into business. You are like the business coach, business person. For someone who is, and I mean, part of what you do is encourage people to start with what they have, start where they are, show up every day.
Yeah.
So for someone who literally has no confidence in their business, and I know a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
Where do you always start with that? Like, how do you get people out of that place where they can believe in themselves, in their businesses?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So here's the thing.
Okay.
I tell my clients this all the time. You don't need to believe in the idea.
Okay.
You just need to get it done.
Okay, never heard that before. You don't need to believe in the idea. You just need to get it done.
Okay.
Right, unpack that.
So I think we have this, we always under this impression that you need to believe it, feel it, and then it's eventually going to work out. And then what happens is that by virtue of us attaching this vision to our emotions, we then enable it to tell us how we move from it. So because I've attached it to my emotion, if I don't feel like doing it today, I'm not going
to
do it.
How possible is it though to detach from your business?
Very possible. Not detach from your business. So it's detached from the belief or from the confidence.
Okay. That it's not you. You're not the business.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's so let me play out an example, right?
Play it
out. Let's say I want to start baking.
Okay.
And I'm like, but I know I can bake and I know I need to, but it's like, I don't believe that I would be able to do it. Mm-hmm. So by virtue of me having attached the vision to my emotions, I'm not going to take action.
Okay.
Do you get
your
what I'm
emotions
saying?
Got you.
Yes,
got
because
you.
Now I've held it here.
Yeah.
But if I take the vision and say, cool, I know that I can bake. Do I feel confident? No. Do I? No. But what am I going to do? I'm going to go
and
do
it.
It. Right. So now it's like you have to, and I think it's maybe my theme in the greater scheme of my seasons is to like decenter and detach, because I really feel that we live in such a generation where we've made our emotions everything, and we are not our emotions.
We're not our emotions. Experience our emotions.
Exactly.
They shouldn't dictate our lives.
Exactly. Yeah. So when people come to me and they say, well, I've got this idea, but I'm scared it's going to fail, or I don't think I'd be able to do it. I'm like, that's great. And the reason I'm saying you don't have to believe in it is because you and I sitting on this table know that there's things that we've done even when we didn't believe we could do it.
Yeah.
There are stages we've gotten to even when we're so nervous and not confident.
Yeah. And it's just like, not you.
Just like, am I going to do this? But we did it anyway. Which is the message for me is like, don't get caught up in your head and in your emotions to like think about it and feel it and then get into it. Get up and go.
So how do you deal with the failure? And this is a good question for you I think shortly after you opened your business, your salon.
Yes. COVID happened. The same month. So we opened, COVID happened, was it in March?
Yes.
Yeah, we opened the 1st of March.
Girl, no.
And then I think the 23rd was lockdown.
Yeah, the 20th, I think.
So, first month. Invested money, bought equipment, had this, it was such a big thing. And then that month, COVID happened. And he was like, but I just put so much money in this. What do you mean? And I think then I was very optimistic that like we're eventually going to open. Yeah, it's going to be fine.
Did you believe the 3 months?
Yeah, I was like, 3 months.
3 months.
We'll be fine. We'll be hanging.
How did you navigate feeling like, oh, maybe I didn't hear correctly. Maybe like, how did you navigate your emotions in that process of, I just started something I was excited about and I knew that I wanted to do it. Yeah. And then 20 days later, the country closes. And now what? Like, and then starting more businesses.
Yes.
Like, I need you to talk me through that.
So maybe let me say that without, especially with this point, without maybe being very teachable, is that I really do think that I have a gift of moving on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I have a gift.
Moving on and moving forward.
Moving forward.
Moving forward.
I really do think, and this is so funny because I'm so emotional and I cry all the time.
Mm.
But people in my life know that just give me time to cry. When I'm done, we're going to get up and we're going to go.
Okay, so you feel in real time so that you know you're dealing in real time. Yeah. So you're not going to have post-traumatic issues.
No. So the thing for me is like, and I think it had to take a lot of work to get me to that point. And it, really, God has just taken me through that.
Yeah.
But my thing is always like, okay, cool. This is what we're going through.
Yeah.
Let's sit and wallow.
Okay.
It's sad.
Okay.
I'm sad.
Okay.
Let's cry.
Okay.
We go through it.
Yeah.
When we're done, my biggest question is what's next?
Okay.
What are we doing? Because we're not going to sit here.
Yeah.
You know, this is we're not just going to sit here and cry forever.
A friend of mine has like dates. She's like, she'll tell me, she's like, friend, I'm giving myself till the end of the month to cry.
Yeah.
For me, it's the wildest thing. Like, girl, can we not put timelines? Because she's like, no,
works.
I need it.
Yes.
I need it.
It works. So I literally put that demand on quite a lot of people in my life when they call me and I'm just like, okay, cool. Let's give it today. By tomorrow, we need to kick butt.
When's the expiry date?
Let's go. It has to expire.
Yeah.
Because you know, and I like saying this often that recently we are in such an age where we are glorifying emotions and we are glorifying feelings, and everything is centered around how we feel. Paul in the Bible says, that which I want to do, I don't do.
Yeah.
And then I do what I don't want to do.
Yeah.
So by virtue of that, that should tell you that our emotions are not to be trusted.
Yeah, don't trust the emotions.
Right?
Yeah.
That we shouldn't sit around and be like, well, because I don't feel like it, I'm not going to start. Or because I don't feel confident, I'm not going to start. But it's like we are called to a higher calling to believe who God says we are. And because we are in a worldly world, sometimes we're not going to believe that. But are we going to sit and not go? No. We're going to get up and we're going to freaking go. Mm-hmm. Mainly because that's what we're called to do. We're called to be fruitful.
Fruitful,
imagine if a tree
in
said...
every season.
Imagine if a tree said, well, I don't feel like bearing fruit today. Like,
not
guys,
today.
This season,
well,
not going to rock out.
Well, a tree did do that and Jesus cursed it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think the other analogy that I play a lot in my head from the Bible is the parable of the talents.
Mm-hmm.
I always ask myself, like, am I being the good and faithful servant in the season?
Sure.
And this season means maybe I've lost. Maybe I'm heartbroken this season. Maybe I'm sad. Maybe I'm depressed. Maybe I've got anxiety. Whatever season it is, it doesn't always have to be favorable, but am I still being a good and faithful servant in whatever season that I am in? And I think that's really what encourages me to keep going. And that does come across a bit harsh and hard to a couple of people in my life.
Yeah.
But my thing is always like, I need you to get up and go.
Yeah.
We can't like... Do I believe in myself? I do. Not every day.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's not always easy. Like, and I think it's important to also mention that your get up and go today may look like 100% on top, Michelle.
Yeah. Yes.
And tomorrow's get up and go, it's 10%, but you got up and you goed. Yes.
And you went. You got up and you goed. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But you see, that's what consistency is about. I ran a course a couple of years ago, and it was on a vision for business visionaries. Mm. And one of the biggest things the Lord laid in my heart for that course was the fact that consistency is simply frequency.
Mm.
It's not every day 100%. Yes. It's every day something.
Something. Woo!
Right?
That's so good.
Yeah.
Consistency
is frequency. It's not every day 100%. It's every day something. So today I'm going to show up 100. Tomorrow I might do 20.
Mm-hmm.
The other day I might do 40, but I still showed up.
I showed up.
And that's what matters.
Yeah.
And we really also underestimate how showing up helps us increase confidence within ourselves.
And that's the thing. That's literally what consistency is about.
Yeah.
Because the moment you stop being consistent, you're telling yourself that you can't be trusted.
Yes.
And so the more consistent you are, it's just like, girl, you're trustworthy.
Exactly.
I trust you.
Imagine you're constantly telling yourself you can't be trusted.
Yeah.
And then you want to trust yourself with a business idea. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's people, God's money.
Exactly. And all of that. You're not. It's going to be very hard for you to get off that seat because you already have this. It's almost like a self-limiting belief.
Sure.
And a self-eating snake, because what you've done is, You are procrastinating, and then by virtue of that, you're not getting the results. And by virtue of that, you are then not delivering. And you see, it's like a cycle.
And you're just being swallowed and swallowed.
All
and swallowed.
The way
and
into
it's in,
it.
And it's in small things. It's not even just about the business.
Yeah?
It's just, and I always ask this question, do you do what you said you're going to do? Always
Big
there
one.
Always a reason why you didn't do it. Because if we, and it's what you said about emotions. If we live by emotions and reasons, there's a reason. Every single day. And good reasons.
A very good one.
Very good reasons. Mm-hmm. But we lose trust in ourselves if we don't show up.
Yeah. It's I always say the values and the things that you embody within yourself are reflect within the relationships that you have, right? If you have a partner or a friend and this person always says, I'm going to be there at 10, but they come at 11.
Mm.
And they say, I'm going to do this for you, and then they don't do it. Mm. Eventually, you get to a point where you don't trust them.
Mm.
It's the same with yourself. When you constantly let yourself down, again, it's a self-eating snake because what you've done is you are then looping in your subconscious mind that you can't be trusted, like you said. Mm. So even when an idea comes up, you can't be trusted to execute. So therefore, you're going to hold yourself back. And that's why it goes back to the sense that I think it's important to feel your emotions and honor them. But I don't think that we need to sit, wallow, and have them determine the action that we take. I think you can 100% fully take action that contradicts your emotions and win.
You can 100% take action that fully contradicts your emotions and win.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a gem and a half.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm glad we got here. For me, the bits of your story that I see, I literally see a story of resilience. Like, I mean, you lost your Instagram page and I put myself in your shoes and I'd just be like, Lord, tata nami.
Exactly. Like,
take me to. But you've continued. And I think I said this to you, like, I actually see the impact even bigger.
Yeah.
Than before. How have you been? How have you been dealing with that? And I know you've been very honest with it. That today I feel like I'm wallowing in what happened.
Yeah.
But then you keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been hard.
Yeah.
It's been really, really hard.
Sorry, for context, Instagram is a big part of your business.
Oh yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So
just vibes.
Not just like
We're not crying over vibes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So just to give a bit of context, is I had an Instagram that was growing really well, that had a couple of thousands of people on there, and it was a big part of my business. It was literally a big revenue driver for me, in the sense that a huge income of the money that sit in my bank account and helped me pay my bills came via Instagram. And then overnight I lost that. I got hacked, and the hackers got in touch with me and they threatened and they wanted like sums of money, and they wanted, it was so dramatic.
Sure.
And funny enough, I was willing to give them whatever they wanted. Because it literally was not equal to what I was losing, to be honest. And then I just got to a certain point where I was just like, you know what? It's not worth it.
Yeah, have it.
Let it go. I think I spent a couple of days like wanting to come to the party. And then I think I prayed about it and I really believe that God was just like, let it go.
Mm.
And I think even that let it go, my heart was wrenched because for a lot of people that don't know, it's like I was in the process of signing year contracts with brands to do work on my Instagram. I was about to launch something on my Instagram because I had the numbers, I had done the study, I had leaded my community to it. Like it was my entire business. So losing that overnight wrecked me. And I think it still does, because there is something, there's something about the numbers that we have on social media. And as much as we say they're a meta, but they serve as some form of validation that what you're doing is right.
Yeah.
That what you're doing has people for.
You're on the right path.
You're doing, there's a need for it.
Yeah.
And when you lose that, it's like, do I really matter?
Mm.
Does what I do actually matter? And you go through all of that thought process. And it was so hard. But I remember I got on a call with a friend who was asking me about it. And I was like, oh, this is what's going on. And I'm so stressed. And I was just wallowing. And I was being my typical crying self. And she was like, okay, we're going to do this Michelle style. Okay, you're going to get up and you're going to go. And I said, sorry, what? Do you not hear that I'm crying?
I'm just like,
do you not hear that I'm going through? She's like, no, I hear that.
Yeah.
But we have to get up and we have to do something at the end of the day. You have to keep moving. So then I got up and I restarted a new account from zero. And I was like, let's go. So the process has been very interesting in the sense that, you know, when we spoke earlier about the things, the bad things that have happened to you, that you just like, now I see why that happened. Like, God, thank you for that.
Blessing in disguise. Yeah.
Like, God, thank you for that. And it pains me to even say that.
Yeah.
It was one of them.
Child.
It pains me to even like admit to that because having to now rebuild my Instagram, but also move my business forward. I've moved it with so much strategy now. Mm. I've moved it with so much intention. From a revenue perspective, now we are grossing better revenue as a business without brands.
As a business.
Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. As a business, not from a creative perspective.
I get what you're saying. As a business.
As a business without brands.
Sustainability. Yeah.
Yes. Now we are scaling. Now we are building something that, should it be wiped up tomorrow?
You're good.
We're good.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
That's what I keep saying. That
yes.
If tomorrow the internet closes, do you have a business?
Exactly.
If Instagram closes, do you have a business?
Exactly. So for me, that was, and what's so fun is those are things I knew, but it was always like, I'm going to do it slowly.
Yeah.
I'll get to it and it will happen. So now we've done the building, but it still wrecks me every now and then.
I can imagine.
I've been in the process of launching what I've been calling on my Instagram, the big project. And not a single day passes.
Yeah.
When that loss doesn't hit me.
Yeah.
And that loss easily can make me feel that this thing is not going to succeed because look at what happened to you there.
Yeah.
You know, this and this is going to happen. But is that going to stop me? No.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's literally a story of saying, I'm dealing, but still moving.
Yes.
And good things can still happen while bad things are happening too. Because I think we tend to look for the, when is it going to be my time? And we think and sometimes I feel like a lot of people don't experience the my time because it contradicts with the other stuff that's still happening. But it's like you can both experience the greatest and still also experience loss, hurt, and those feelings.
That's, you know, when you say that, I like saying I think in story and I think in picture, right? And when you say that, what's coming to my spirit is literally like, if you had to climb a mountain, you're climbing because of the excitement of going up there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still like rocks and there's challenges to the climb. Mm. You're probably carrying like the heavy bag.
Heavy.
And every now and then
toes.
You want to rest.
Yeah.
And you want, you know, so it becomes very important to realize that it's the process that
the
is
process
important.
That matters.
It's you really have to get to a point where you appreciate the purpose of the process.
Mm. Appreciate the purpose of it. Can you tell us the big project now?
Oh,
well, I mean,
man.
By the time the episode comes out,
yes.
You would have known. But I'm finding out what the big project is. So.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So the big project. Oh, you know what? Let me tell you this. I am like so saddened because it's been my little secret for months.
Just yours, or there's like one or two people who know?
I mean, I only told my man about it after I had like executed. Yeah, it was one of those. I was like, girl. I was like, you know, and here's the thing, right? And it goes back to what we're talking about like fear and all of that. That God lays an idea in your heart, and you're just like, God,
why
me?
Yeah.
And you're like, okay,
yeah.
How am I going to do this? How am I going to execute? And because in your mind it seems so big, it's like, I don't want to tell somebody because then
in case
it doesn't work out, or now they're going to hold me accountable.
Gotcha.
Did you get it? Because like, I still want to bargain with the Lord.
Yeah,
I'm
just like
just to make sure it's you, you know. But I had this, like I said, every time I sit with God,
yeah,
I promise you, like, these ideas are dropped, and it's like, there's direction, there's strategy, there's this and this and this. So the story behind the big project.
Oh,
right?
Yes. You need to give me the story. Yes.
Give me the story behind the big project is that, so part of what my business does is we consult,
yes,
right? And we consult quite a number of corporate companies and small businesses, and we help people make revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest, I'd been seeing a bit of a trend, mm-hmm, with like people that, number one, have not started and want to start.
Yeah.
But also people that have started and want to scale.
Okay.
Right. And because I had built from my previous account a brand where it was like, I would either go and host a workshop at a place, or I would go and, or I would do a course, or whatever the case is. It's very important to mention that,
yeah,
because I think in story and pictures, I like building models.
Okay.
So I like knowing, I like having a system of how things work. Like, yeah, I like having a formula of what works. So I then realized that I opened up consultations, mm-hmm, on Instagram.
Mm-hmm, I remember.
And like,
yes,
people flooded me. Yeah. Like my days, I literally was consulting from like morning until evening. Like, yeah, I was consulting till like 7 p.m.
Sure.
And then I thought to myself, well, there's only one of me.
Yeah. It's not sustainable. It's not sustainable.
Yeah. So how do we help the person who hasn't started,
mm-hmm,
that wants to start,
mm-hmm,
and the person who started but wants to scale.
Mm.
So how do I walk with them? How do I hold their hand and walk with them even when I can't be with them?
Yes.
Because some people can afford the consultations, or some of them are in a different country and it's a time zone, and da-da-da. Then the big project happens.
Okay.
Okay. So okay, are you ready?
So this big project,
yes,
is for me. If
yes.
One,
yes,
I don't know how to start, but yes, I need to start.
Yes.
Two, I've started, but girl, I gotta scale up.
Yes. So you've started, but it's just like, yeah, we've started.
Okay.
But we need to scale up.
Okay.
So that's what the big project is. Okay. Bum, bum, bum. So it is called the CEO Blueprint.
Hi. Okay, give us cool. The tea. It's yeah. Thick.
It's very thick. So the CEO Blueprint,
uh-huh,
this is
can
literally
I, can
what
I hold
call,
it?
Yes, you can. So okay. This is literally what I call a sales and social media content and business planner.
Okay.
So in the planner.
For ambitious go-getters.
For ambitious go-getters, uh-huh, yes, because mm-hmm, we're people that get up and go.
Mm-hmm.
So in the planner are templates to help you price your products.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally pricing models in their product ideas.
Mm-hmm.
They're templates to create emails so you can start building your mailers.
Mm-hmm.
There's literally templates to help you.
For everything.
Kickstart your business.
And accountability
all the way to go.
Templates.
And accountability templates. And what we did with this is that there is only 12 weeks.
Okay.
There's only 12 weeks of daily planning in here.
Okay.
Because the principle is it shouldn't take you more than that.
It shouldn't take you more than 12 weeks, one, to scale or to start something.
Both.
Okay.
Both. 12 weeks is 3 months.
Okay.
That's enough time.
That's enough
to get on the ground,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that's what it is. So my heart really behind this was realizing that a lot of people have great ideas,
yeah,
but they don't have the right strategy to carry them through, to actually follow through from those ideas.
Yeah.
So somebody will want to start a business, but they don't know, like, should I go on Instagram? Should I go on Twitter? Or they have an idea, but they don't know how to conceptualize the idea,
yeah,
to be able to speak to the right people so people can buy from them.
Yeah.
So my heart really was that I want this to be your co-CEO.
Okay. Your co-CEO.
Yeah.
Okay.
To be literally the handbook that you will run with when,
yeah,
you're running your business, from execution, from literally ideation,
mm-hmm,
because part of it is we brainstorm product ideas,
mm-hmm,
and there's like a formula and a frame on what's going to help you actually curate an idea that is feasible and that is going to speak to a certain audience.
Yeah.
There is marketing, there is launching.
There's We've thought got, that goes into everything. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And there's lots of templates in here,
yeah,
that is going to help you do that. So.
Yeah. And this is based on your own experience and,
yes,
your own building. So it's,
yeah,
not like something where you just like Google.
Like Google,
give me this.
No.
Yeah.
We've literally built this. So the important thing about all the pages are in here is that these are things that I've helped lots of my clients,
okay,
with. So this is a model that already exists.
Okay.
I literally just only
put
now
it on paper.
Packaged it.
Yeah.
So what used to happen is I would then take this model to clients, or
mm,
then use this model to help clients. And now, mm, we're just like, well, how do we then give this to somebody who might not necessarily afford to get on a coaching program with,
yeah,
me, or could, but how do they work on this every day? Because,
yeah,
you might not speak to me every day.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Yeah.
But it's like, how do they actually run with this and build their business?
So where is this available?
This is available. There's a link on my bio.
Okay.
It's available. So we've got a shop called Resonate Shop, mm-hmm, resonatehub.shop.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go there and buy it from there. And we're also going to avail it as a digital product. So for people that are like
amazing
in
out of
other
the country
spaces, yeah.
And we will cheers to that. Congratulations.
Yes. Clink, clink.
And of course, you've got something for... Wait, we'll get into it at the end.
Yes.
Let me give you my last question, mm-hmm. and then we'll do the special...
The goodies.
The goodies.
Yes.
Okay. Last question before my last three questions.
Let's go.
What is the season of your life called?
Oh, man. Puma, you're about to make me cry.
I'm trying to make you cry, but I love. We love crying together.
Ah, what is the season of my life called? Goodness.
Ah.
Goodness. Man, God has been so good. Like, I mean that in every way possible. Like, you know when you pray for something,
yeah,
and then God delivers.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
Yeah. So, and he over delivers.
You're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought we were gonna wait like four more years. I thought you were gonna prepare me.
And yeah.
God just deems you worthy for this life that you've wanted. It's goodness. That's the season of my life. We were driving to the restaurant with my partner and the kids, and I just had my heart just swelled up because I just said, it's like, sure. I just said in my heart, this is it.
I know that feeling.
It's so funny because you're just like, am I allowed to feel?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not the grand thing, but this is it. This is it. It's like, Lord, if like, thank you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's just it. It's just like goodness. Business is doing well. I mean, such a beautiful, fruitful relationship with the man I love. We've got a beautiful daughter.
Yeah.
We've got a beautiful home. Like, it's just, and when I say beautiful, I'm not saying like grand, expensive.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's
beautiful for you.
It's beautiful for me. It's my beautiful.
It's your beautiful.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Compared to like how my life had been in the past, it's like,
sure.
It's just goodness.
Yeah. I get why it's goodness, because I think goodness flows from contentment. Mm-hmm. And I can hear the contentment in, especially like after you've shared everything, it's like, yes, this, but it's so good. And I think from that place, God just keeps pouring and mm-hmm. pouring.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to rush to our wall of wisdom.
Okay.
Quote or verse that you live by.
Quote or verse that I live by. I've got seasonal ones.
Okay.
My current in the season now is, I forgot where the verse is.
Yeah.
But it's the one where it says in the word, press down, shake it together, run it over. Shall men give in your bosom?
Uh-huh.
The reason why I live by that quote is God has really been impressing in my heart with the work that I do to speak and help entrepreneurs around building relationships and praying for favor over their lives. Because as children of God, we run with the fact that, well, God's got me. But it's like, yeah, God will got you through people.
God will got you through people. And that's all that.
Exactly. God
will got you through people.
So we need to have the wisdom, the discernment to build the right relationships.
Yeah.
Because press down, chicken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom.
Love that. Podcast or book you highly recommend?
Podcast, Wisdom and Wellness.
Of course.
Come on. Wisdom and Wellness.
Yeah.
Come on. Book I highly recommend is, I forget this author, it's called Transformation by Dell something. I read it a long time ago, but I literally make it a mission to read that book every single year because it talks about how to build an organization like the kingdom of God.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Transformation. We'll go look for it.
Yes.
Last question, mm-hmm. finish the sentence. A wise woman once said,
God's got me.
Every day. And that's on that.
All day.
Yay. You have a giveaway
for our
Wisdom and Wellness community.
Okay, cool. So because by the time this podcast actually comes out, the big project is going to be out, I want to give away two of these to the Wisdom and Wellness team, mm-hmm. The Wisdom and Wellness community.
Yeah.
So all they have to do, mm-hmm. right, is in the comment section, mm-hmm. they have to let us know, number one, how this podcast has really changed their thought process, their lives. Just give us the juicy details.
Yeah.
Give it all. Tell us if you've been a day one.
Yeah.
What has this meant to you?
Yeah.
And the second thing is you have to be registered as part of the mail list.
Yes.
Because there's goodies that also come there,
yes.
which is nice, and your Sunday nuggets, which I absolutely love, by the way.
Yeah.
So those are two things, and then we'll select a winner.
Yeah.
And then the winner will be announced, let's say, on the Friday.
Yeah, on the Friday.
Yeah, we'll announce the winner on the Friday. So I'm giving away two, mm-hmm. and then you guys will give my team and I the names, and then we'll ship it to
you.
Yeah.
But Thank you so much, Michelle. I'm so proud of you. I'm excited for you. And I know God is going to continue to pour into you as you continue to pour into others. And may your season of goodness continue to flow and flow.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you for
having me. High five. That's a wrap.